Could I have your attention, please? Thank you. I'm Bob Rubin, and let me thank all of you for being here on behalf of all of my colleagues on the Advisory Council of the Hamilton Project as we hold our initial event of the 2010 season. As you may know, the first three directors of the Hamilton Project are now serving in distinguished offices in the federal government. Peter Orszag, in chronological order, Peter Orszag is, of course, director of the OMB. Jason Furman is deputy director of the National Economic Council. And Doug Elmendorf moved on to become the head of the Congressional Budget Office after Peter. We are proud of them, and we are very proud of our new executive director, Michael Greenstone. Michael stepped down as the chief economist of the CEA on the last day of January, and then he returned to a dual role in life, partly to his tenured position in economics at MIT, and partly to running the Hamilton Project. We are also highly fortunate that Karen Anderson, upon leaving the CEA, has come back to join us as managing director. And we are very grateful to the Brookings Institution for all of the support that they've given us since our founding and for the wonderful way in which they've worked with us. The Hamilton Project will continue in its role of promoting serious debate and policy development on critical economic issues at a time of enormous complexity and importance in the economic arena. As you know, we ordinarily hold events around a single issue. We base the events on papers that are peer-reviewed, and then we'll have two panels, one discussing the papers and then one more general panel. The object of all of our work is to promote growth, to promote widespread increases in income across all income levels, and to promote economic security. Today's event, however, is not in the typical Hamilton mode. Instead, we're going to have two broad discussions on long-term economic issues facing our country. The first panel will present more specific policy proposals in the Hamilton tradition, with Doug Amond of Columbia University, Roland Fryer of Harvard University, Michael Greenstone of MIT, and the Hamilton Project. The opening comments and the moderator's role will be performed by Karen Dinan, co-head of economic studies at the Brookings Institute. The second panel will address a broader set of issues with respect to the opportunities and challenges facing the United States with Alan Blinder, again for the long term, with Alan Blinder of Princeton University, the Honorable Sherrod Brown, United States Senator, the great state of Ohio, Ed Glaser of Harvard University, and Alice Rivling of Brookings and visiting professor at Georgetown University. Then, as the highlight of our program, well, every participant is the highlight of our program, but as a special highlight of our program, we are deeply honored to have keynote remarks by the Vice President of the United States, Joseph R. Biden. Following the Vice President's remarks, Roger Altman, who will introduce the Vice President, will provide concluding comments and bring our program to a close. Let me make a couple of very brief comments about, if you will, the substantive environment for this entire discussion. I think all of us would agree that our country faces complex and extraordinarily critical challenges, both for the short term and the long term. Most immediately, the American people are suffering a terrible toll from the Great Recession. And at the same time, we face unsustainable fiscal deficits for the years and decades ahead. For the longer term, which is the primary perspective and focus of the Hamilton Project, we must put in place a policy agenda, including fiscal matters critical public investment, and much else that will enable our country to realize its potential, the potential that we, the Hamilton Project, believe our country has for a successful future in a rapidly transforming global economy. We believe that with our dynamic culture and our history of economic and political resilience, our country can succeed even as the global economy becomes more competitive and changes at a dramatic rate. But to do so, that our political system will have to make difficult decisions and face hard trade-offs. The Hamilton Project believes that our economy should be market-based, but believes with equal strength that strong and effective government is essential to provide the many requisites for a successful economy that markets by their very nature cannot provide. With that, let me turn the program over to Michael Greenstone, eminent new director of the Hamilton Project. And Michael is going to take us through the Hamilton Project's new strategy paper that sets out the challenges and some of our thoughts about approaches to those challenges for the years and decades ahead. Michael?
Thank you, Bob. I also want to thank the team at the Brookings Institution who've been important and valuable partners for the Hamilton Project since its launch in 2006. And I want to acknowledge our advisory council, many of whom are here today. This is a distinguished group that includes leading academics, a Nobel Prize winner, former cabinet members, former elected officials, and captains of industry. It's a unique group, and I look forward to working with all of them in the months and years ahead. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the Hamilton Project, I thought it would be useful to review our goals. We seek to advance America's promise of opportunity, prosperity, and growth. We believe that long-term prosperity is best achieved by fostering economic growth and broad participation in that growth, by enhancing individual economic security, and by embracing a role for effective government in making needed public investments. These are four interrelated judgments that inform all of our work. So what has prompted us to release a new strategy paper? Our country is beginning to emerge from the most serious economic crisis in the last eight decades. But recovery is not enough. The fundamental goal of our economic policy should be renewal. The long-run economic health of the country is at risk in ways that pose an even greater threat to our long-run prosperity than the Great Recession. In the face of these challenges, it is vital that there be a diverse and robust debate about the choices going forward. Participating in that debate, not just through analysis, but by providing well-researched, thoughtful solutions to these problems is what led to the creation of the Hamilton Project in 2006. Moving forward, we will continue to contribute public policy proposals commensurate with the challenges of our time. In thinking about economic policy today, it's impossible to start without beginning thinking about the Great Recession and its devastating impact on American families. Its impact can be told in many different ways. There's two numbers that I find especially daunting. One, there's currently 15 million Americans who are unemployed and many, many more who are working part-time who would prefer to work full-time. Two, households have lost over $8 trillion in wealth due to declines in housing and stock prices. However, in many ways, these numbers fail to capture the uniquely acute fears that are produced by economic insecurity and undermine the country's social fabric. For example, extended unemployment has a series of real-life negative consequences. It leads to lower wages upon reemployment. It places great stress on families and marriages, leads to elevated rates of mortality, and it can even reduce the future earnings of the children of the unemployed. These impacts are an important reminder that the goal of economic policy and what we seek to contribute to is not simply a well-functioning economy, but a country that works well for everyone. The surest way to confront these problems is through broad-based economic growth. This chart on the screen illustrates per capita income growth from 1990 through 2009. It then projects how per capita income would increase through 2030 at annual growth rates of 1, 2, and 3%. This very simple exercise demonstrates that even seemingly small differences in growth rates can have dramatic impacts on incomes in periods as short as a decade. There are both external and internal barriers to achieving higher levels of growth, achieving 2% instead of 1%. Externally, the global economy is becoming increasingly competitive. Capital can crisscross the globe looking for the highest rate of return, and two potentially giant destinations for capital, namely China and India, are growing stronger. In a likely related trend, the wages of many Americans have grown only slowly, and some have even declined over the last three decades. At home, growth is determined by the choices that we make today. There are several areas where increased investments are necessary, and I'm just going to highlight three today. One, basic research is an engine for innovation and growth. However, the federal support for basic research as a fraction of GDP is at a post-World War II low. Two, a high-performing K-12 education system is crucial for increasing workforce productivity. However, the U.S. system underperforms much of the rest of the developed world, even as we spend the most. Three, scientists tell us that climate change is the consequence of emitting greenhouse gases. However, to date, we have not confronted this challenge. These challenges have at least four similarities. None of them can be solved by one bold stroke. All require persistent and sustained effort. All require government action, and none can be solved without new resources. At the same time that we face these challenges, however, our fiscal situation is compromised. Before the Great Recession, the country's fiscal situation had been deteriorating and lacked a plan to control the surge in projected entitlement spending that is accompanying the retirement of the baby boomers. The most telling measure of a country's indebtedness is the federal debt to GDP ratio. This is a measure of the country's capacity to repay its debt. The higher this ratio, the greater the strain that debt places on a country. Between the beginning of 2007 and the end of 2010, as illustrated in this chart, the federal debt to GDP ratio is projected to increase from 38% to 61%. This is a level not seen since the end of World War II. Further, it is projected, as demonstrated on the chart, to continue to grow rapidly in the coming years. The Great Recession and the resulting and necessary policy responses have starkly exposed the budget situation. By some calculations, they have shortened the time available to address the budget deficit by at least a decade. The reason these high debt levels are so unsettling and troubling for the country's future is they increase the probability of several adverse possibilities. High rates of borrowing consume resources that could be put to more productive uses and are likely to increase interest rates, which crowd out private investment and ultimately slow GDP growth. Furthermore, high debt levels remove flexibility to confront unexpected challenges, such as future recessions, and experience indicates that such high levels of debt can cause global capital markets to lose confidence in a country's ability to repay. When this happens, countries are forced to make abrupt changes in spending and tax policies with little consideration for their impact on their citizens' well-being. So where does this leave us? The engine of prosperity in the United States is the private sector. It's workers and businesses who determine the nation's wealth and direction. However, they'll never be able to do what they do best in an economic environment where workers are unprepared to compete in the global economy, technology is not innovative, and climate change poses risks that inhibit growth. The Hamilton Project believes that the solution is to reprioritize expenditures toward investments that promote future prosperity. Further, the United States should confront the deficit as soon as the recovery has gained sufficient momentum. Over time, the federal debt to GDP ratio must be lowered from its current levels. Our future prosperity rests on tackling these challenges. In a nation that's recovering from a devastating recession and in an era when people want more from government and yet seem unwilling to pay for it. Although the challenges ahead are real and the stakes are high, There are many reasons to be optimistic that America can overcome them. The U.S. economy continues to be the most innovative in the world. More businesses are started here, more patents are filed here than in any other country. Perhaps most important, the United States has a long history of rising to meet great challenges. In the coming months and years, the Hamilton Project will put forward evidence-based policy recommendations that intend to help the United States meet these challenges. Our first full-fledged effort at this will be 10 days from now when we jointly host an event on the future of the American worker with the Center for American Progress. This is the first of two conferences with the Center for American Progress, and it'll feature panel discussions and a thought-provoking discussion between Michael Bloomberg, Mayor of New York, and Larry Summers, Director of the National Economic Council. That discussion will be moderated by Charlie Rose. For those of you who absolutely can't wait for 10 days, you're in luck. The next panel is going to present three pieces of, two pieces of cutting-edge academic research, and some by me, and some accompanying policy implications. They won't be full-blown Hamilton recommendations, but are intended as teasers for what's to come. So now let's get down to work. Thank you very much.